Church, please turn to the third page of your bulletin for today's scripture reading. Today's scripture is taken from Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Weijie. The Lord bless you, church. It's great privilege for me to bring you the Word of God this morning. And it's great to see all of you here as well. Our place is filled with normal attendance on the 9 a.m. service. In fact, I've seen some people who usually have a little bit trouble with 10 a.m. and now are actually making it here before 9 a.m. So praise to the Lord. So this morning, we're going to start a two short series on the attributes of God. And our goal between myself and Pastor Tom is to help you get to know our great God just a little bit more. Okay, He's so big and so awesome. It is not actually possible for us to show you exactly how great He is. But we're going to try to bring you a little bit closer. So when I ask you, is God good? Do you believe that God is good? Right? I'm not so sure because many of you are quiet. Do you believe God is good?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you truly believe that God is so good, then I don't need to preach anymore. I can calm down. But the fact is, I believe that our knowledge of God is never sufficient. And we are constantly trying to reduce an infinite God to fit our finite minds. We cannot comprehend how awesome and how great He truly is. And last Sunday, if you remember, Max was preaching here. He said that we overestimate ourselves and we underestimate God all the time. And in fact, we even impose our own standard on God. So this is how we do that. We would say something like, well, if God is good, He will be like this. He will do this or He won't do that. And if He doesn't fit into our definition, then we begin to think, well, God is, maybe He's not so good. But you know what? If the God of heaven and earth can comply to our definition, He is no longer God. Because we cannot comprehend what God is all about. And any God that conforms to our definition is the little cheap God of our own imagination. He is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God who laid the foundation of the world. In fact, He is not God at all. So no wonder sometimes we find it hard to trust God when our view of Him is so small and so cheap. So who can really trust such a God? No one should trust this kind of a God. So our goal between myself and Pastor Tom is to help us magnify the view of God. And when I say magnify, I don't mean by taking a little tiny little thing and put it under the microscope and see that it's bigger. When I say magnify, it means that we get closer to something that is huge And then we begin to realize how big it is. So many of you have been to Marina Bay Sands, right? And when you look at it, it is quite different from what you can see on a postcard. The postcard has a beautiful photo of Marina Bay Sand. It's all over the world. People look at it, wow, it's wonderful, it's colorful. The architecture is fantastic. But when you go there, you stand below that structure, you look above, you see, wow, how high it is. And then you look to the left, you look to the right, you're amazed at how much land it covers. Nothing like what you see in the postcard. And no words that someone can describe to you can communicate that. And when you go inside, you touch and you feel the environment. And then finally, when you go up to the sky deck, looking down to the rest of Singapore, you see all those buildings around there looking like Lego sets. And now you see the cars running on the road looking like little toys. And then if you can see any people walking, I'm not sure if you can, if you can see any people walking down there, they look like just ants crawling around here and there. You are amazed. Wow. You are getting a feeling of Marina Bay Sands like never before. But you see, Marina Bay Sands have not changed. It's still the Marina Bay Sands that you saw on the postcard. Only your perspective has changed. You are in awe of it because now you are closer. You can experience it. So that is what we pray for, that we stop staring at a postcard version of our great God and start beholding Him and see Him in the way that the Bible describes. It has significant implication how big our view of Him is or how small of Him is. Because when our view of God is small, our trouble becomes big. But when our view of God is big, our trouble is little like ants. So we begin this morning, this journey of magnifying our God through Psalms 100, which you just heard. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist have seen and experienced something about God that causes him to break out with joy, gladness, and singing in verse 1 and 2. And then he turns to praise and thanksgiving in verse 4. And then finally, he explains the reason why he has so much joy and so much so that he wants to thank God for is because in verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good." For the Lord is good. Because He is so good, they sing in gladness and praise Him and thank Him. The Lord is good. He created the heaven and earth, and He says it is good. First day to the fifth day. And then He created man, he said, it is very good. So what does it mean when we say God is good? It means that everything that he does is right. Everything that he does is good. His motive is always pure and holy. And it means that the goodness of God is a fountain of his love, his kindness, his compassion, his faithfulness, his grace, and his mercy. And all these things all are totally related with his goodness. And in fact, goodness is one of God's divine attributes. It is so essential to God's character that if he is not perfectly good, then he will not be God. Because the real God is perfectly good all the time. And this was the first thing that the serpent attacked in the Garden of Eden. He told Eve, how come God won't let you eat that fruit? He's trying to withhold something good from you. He's keeping it to himself. Tempted Eve, and then subsequently, Adam. So do we also doubt God's goodness sometimes and get tempted to believe in lies like that? So let's begin our journey to see the awesomeness and the goodness of our God. So I'll go through these 3 points this morning, and I have to confess, it is whole, totally inadequate to show God's goodness in a meaningful way. However, God has revealed himself through his word and his nature, so we are able to grasp a little bit of how good he is. So we'll look at his goodness, that his goodness is immeasurable, it is immutable, and also it is inseparable. So first, the goodness of God is immeasurable. So when we think about goodness in the human sense, we think about degrees of goodness. So we would say, well, this person is good, but that person is better. But my wife is the best. So there are varying degrees of goodness when we think of that. But what about God? How good is God? Is God the very best in goodness? Well, he is more than the best. Because best is still measurable. And our God is immeasurable. Ephesians 2, verse 7, Paul says, so that the coming ages he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God is immeasurable. His goodness is immeasurable. It is taller than the highest mountain, is deeper than the deepest ocean, and is wider than the entire universe from one end to another. It is more than anything that we can measure. Even this comparison that I'm making is wrong, because I am using measurable things to communicate something that is immeasurable. But our finite mind needs something like this to help us get a little bit closer. The infinite described in finite ways. So how good is God? The goodness of God is immeasurable. It's boundless. It's limitless. It is infinite. And sometimes when we look at people, and even ourselves, we are good. But there is a limit. When we run out of our patience, we turn from good, turn from an angel to a monster. Can God be like that? Can his goodness ever run out? But we know his goodness is unlimited. It can never run out, right? So Psalms 105, verse 5 actually describes that. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The goodness of God endures forever. It never runs out. Continues to all generations. Our sun can run out, but not the goodness of God. His goodness will continue to shine even after the sun dies. In fact, the goodness of God is not something that He stores inside or stores somewhere. There is not a reservoir of goodness that He can draw from. The goodness of God is part of His very nature. It is who He is. It flows out of Him because our God is good. He's infinitely good and immeasurably good. And He is good in every aspect. And His goodness is also perfect. What does perfect mean? It means that it's not less than perfect. Some of you are perfectionists. You're trying to make something perfect. And you can spot it when somebody moves something, it's no longer perfect. Nope, you got to fix it. Make it perfect again. Right? In your eyes. So perfect means it's always perfect, always good. So if there's one microscopic dot in this entire universe where God is not good, then He cannot be God anymore. Because our perfect God is good, perfectly good, all the time. That brings me to the second point. The goodness of God is immutable. And I'll explain what that means. Now, sometimes we are disappointed with people because we thought they were good, and then we found out they're not so good. Right, sometimes even with our spouses, they confess their love with us and say, "I will be good to you all the time. I'll never let you down." They truly mean it. But then we find out when the rubber hits the road, when things get really, really tough, they deny us like Peter did to Jesus. So such experience can sometimes cause us to wonder, is God the same? Can His goodness run out? Can we count on Him to be perfectly good all the time? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Because the goodness of God is immutable. Now, immutable is not a word that we use very on an everyday basis, but you will know the meaning of mutation, right? Mutation means something has changed. It was like this, now it has mutated into something else. It's no longer the same thing. Something has changed. But one of God's attributes is that He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He's always the same. And He says this about Himself in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. "For I, the Lord, do not change." He does not change. There's no variation in Him. It's always the same, immutable. No mutation can ever happen to Him in any shape or form. He is always loving, always gracious, always merciful, always faithful, always compassionate, always kind, and always good. So when we talk about God's goodness, remember, He is perfectly good all the time. His goodness never becomes less or more, because perfect goodness cannot be added on, nor can it be subtracted from. Any changes to that will render it imperfect. That will no longer be of God. So from the beginning of time until the end, if there is one nanosecond of time when God is not good, then He cannot be God anymore. Because God is perfectly good all the time. Past, present, and future. God is good when He created heaven and earth. God is good when He created human in His image. And God is good when He created Adam and Eve. He was good when He sinned against Him. He showed them grace and kindness by clothing them with animal skins. And God is good when He sent Jesus to the cross. So whoever believes in Christ Jesus should not perish, but have eternal life. His goodness is expansive. It's constant. You can always, always count on it. And we can be thankful that God's goodness has been with Agape Baptist Church. He was good since the very beginning. He was good when Miss Lily Rogers came to Singapore to start churches. He was good when Miss Rogers trained up Pastor Guna to lead this church for the past 30 years. He is good when He brought Pastor Giao into our church as a visitor at one point, and now soon to be our next senior pastor. And He is good when He's giving us the luxury of a smooth transition of leadership. You know, in many churches, this is a huge change, and that transition is often rocky, sometimes left without a senior pastor for a period of time. But our God is good. Our transition is smooth. We are already very, very comfortable by being led by Pastor Giao. And we can trust that because God is good, He will use Pastor Giao to lead us into the future. Not depending on the strength and the wisdom of this one man, but depends on the infinite God and His goodness for our church. And finally, God's goodness is inseparable. Now that we know that God's goodness is immeasurable, immutable, what does it mean to us personally? I want you to know, church, that God's goodness is not something that He keeps to Himself far, far away from us. His goodness is inseparable from His creation, and He shares it with all of us freely. And James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And Psalms 33, verse 5, this New King James Version, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Have you received any good gift lately? It's from God. And this world is full of the goodness of God. It is what keeps it running, what keeps it intact. He sustains all of life on earth. Every star in the sky shines because of His goodness. Every atom depends on Him to orbit. The nature is His work of art to bless us with creative beauty. When we go on top of a majestic mountain, or when we are standing below a picturesque waterfall, He inspires us to worship Him because He has created nature so beautifully. He gives us sunshine and rain. He gives us air and water. He supplies food and drinks. He gives us eyes so we can see vibrant colors. He gives us ears to listen to melodic singing. nose to smell the scent of roses, fingers to touch the tender skin of a baby, which I hope to do next Monday when I go to visit my granddaughter. And He blesses us with taste buds so we can enjoy deliciousness for our pleasure. And He gives us feelings such as love and joy so we can know one another and to know Him. He gives us life through every breath and every heartbeat. Now, church, can you imagine life without this, even this short list of things I just described to you? It will be meaningless, a world without these things. And it will be unbearable. Thanks be to God that He has given us these things and so much more. And the absence of God's goodness will instantly turn a place into hell. That's what hell is. God's presence and goodness is not there. But there is also a special kind of goodness that God is giving to Christians, because He is our Father and we are His children. And the psalmist describes this in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He made us. We are His handiwork. We are His. He keeps us because He treasures what He made. We are His people. He is our God. We are the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Now, do you ever get the feeling that no one can understand you? Even your spouse that you thought should understand you still misunderstands you. Even your friends, sometimes you try to explain something, they just can't really get it. And people seem to know you only on the surface. They don't really know what is inside of you. They don't know the real you. But when you find someone who really, really, really knows you, it's a great feeling, isn't it? Ah, this person I want to be with. This is my friend. This is my best friend. Best friend forever, whom I can pour out my heart to because he or she understands me. I can say anything to him or her because I can trust him and he knows me. But you know, Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me. He knows you better than your best friends, infinitely more. He knows you even better than you know yourself. This is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knowing us, caring for us. Now, when it comes to sheep, to our untrained eyes, all sheep tend to look alike. We can't really tell one from another. But to the shepherds, every sheep is unique. They can tell the distinguishing mark from one sheep to another. There's no one alike. So the good shepherd knows us by our differences and by our uniqueness. He is the one who who imprinted those differences in us. So what does that mean? That means that you don't have to be like someone else. You don't have to be working so hard to try to become someone other than yourself. Because you can celebrate what makes you unique and what sets you apart. You don't need to pretend. The Good Shepherd knows you by your uniqueness, by the difference that everyone sees in you. You can really, really be yourself. Now, the Good Shepherd, what does that mean? What makes the Good Shepherd good? What's the difference between the Good Shepherd and all the other shepherds? And John 10, verse 11 explains that. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So this is a defining trait of the Good Shepherd. His willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. None other shepherds would do this. The other shepherds might care about the sheep, or to die for them? Never. When danger comes, they will run. Let the sheep die, better than I die. To them, it's just a job. It makes no sense to sacrifice their own life for sheep. Little sheep, what's the value in them? My life is much more important. Now, we are sheep. We're described as sheep. Do you know that sheep is not the smartest animals? They may look cute in stuffed toys, but in reality, they are not that lovely. Because they don't know where to go or what to do. They're quite clueless about everything. And they're defenseless against wild animals. And sometimes they can step in a hole and they just fall down and then they fall sideways and then they struggle, and then maybe they turn upside down like a turtle, upside down. You know that in that position, they cannot get themselves up. They will actually die within a few hours because of circulation being cut off. They need a shepherd to help them up so that they can live and not die. And then when the shepherd, out of his goodness, knows where to bring them to find food, a safe place and lots of green pasture, he brings them there so they can enjoy. What does a sheep do? Do they stay there and just enjoy the goodness of what the shepherd has given to them? No, they actually tend to wander off. Whenever there's an opportunity, the best thing is already here, they get themselves lost somewhere. Maybe they get themselves killed. This is why they need shepherds. They need someone to guide them, to bring them to places, to restore them when they fall, and to protect them when there's harm, and bring them back when they're lost. So this is us. We need a good shepherd. When we are hungry, he brings us to green pastures. And now in our foolishness, we wander off to somewhere we think that we can find something better. The good shepherd goes after us and brings us back. And when we face sin and death, the good shepherd lays down his life for us. And he did so willingly because out of the goodness of the Good Shepherd, there is immeasurable, immutable, and inseparable love, grace, and mercy for his sheep, which is us. So if you ever wonder if God is good, look at the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, our risen King, our Savior, through the precious blood of Jesus, we are reconciled the Father and brought into His kingdom. No longer separated. For our Father adopts us as His children. And nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are inseparable from Him. Now, since the goodness of God is immeasurable, immutable, inseparable, then His goodness must be in every situation of our lives, whatever that may be, especially in the situations that we don't quite like. So I just talk about three of them. So His goodness is with us when we are haunted by regrets. Some of us wish that we can turn back time, go back and make things right again, so that we will not be at the same place that we are now. Something has gone wrong. We wish that it didn't happen. We're thinking, what if that didn't happen? What if I had chosen a different path? All these things keep going on and on and on. And it haunts us. And sometimes it's really, really hard to reconcile everything in our limited mind and knowledge of what God is doing in that situation. And I want you to know, people, that God is good in those situations. He uses those broken pieces to weave them together into a God-glorifying tapestry. Broken pieces into something beautiful. Trust Him to redeem your brokenness. Trust Him to redeem what you regret. The biggest regret in my life is how I destroyed my first marriage. I hurt my ex-wife, my two children, whom I love so much. And it's been 15 years since then. Sometimes it's still Sometimes it still brings tears to my eyes. Yet, God used that brokenness to show me that I need Him. I'm not smart enough to do life on my own. I made a mess out of everything when I followed the foolishness of leaning on my own understanding. And through those regrets, He turned me into a pastor. Can you believe that? I cannot fathom what that is all about. And He redeemed my sinful and destructive past and turned that into a ministry that we can help other men. As you heard this morning, Friday and Saturday, Pastor Giao, myself, and the group of AGM core team and plus a couple other young men that we brought along, we went to a retreat they organized. It's called the Pursuit of Fight for Holiness Side by Side. And they realized that they have a problem with sexual sins in their church, but they're not just able to talk about it. It's still hidden. So we were there, Pastor Jiao, myself, and three other men, openly testify the goodness of God and how He has set us free from that dark past and brought us into light. And we pray that God was able to use us to help the men in Redemption Hill Church to bring their own sins into light as well. And after everything is wrapped up, there was one man that just walked up to us crying. He's been involved in sin for 30 years. He doesn't know what to do. Pastor Giao ministered to him. Another young man, 19 years old, came up to me. He started pouring his heart out, confessing one sin after another. He followed me all the way from the conference venue to the MRT station. And then I got off the MRT station and followed me onto the bus to Jusang, where my home is. He followed me and got off the bus. And I sat down and prayed for him. It would not have been possible if God didn't allow the biggest regret in my life to happen. But he redeemed it. And he will redeem your regrets as well, people. Secondly, God is good when your life is not where you want. Some of us have certain expectations about what our life should become. When you're young, you have a picture of, this is what I want to be someday. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a politician. I want to be a doctor. Have this kind of family, have this kind of career, and so on and so on. We have many hopes and dreams. And then we see some of our friends getting there. Their dreams are coming true. But what about us? What is my dream? Maybe where you are is actually quite far from what you dream about. And you're just kind of wondering, is this what life is all about? God, where are you? I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for to be a billionaire. I'm just asking for a little bit. You can help me out for this dream to come true. Because nothing is impossible for God, right? Your career may have fallen short. Your marriage may be suffering a slow death. Your children may be struggling in school. Maybe their relationship with you is broken. Once upon a time, they adore you, they listen to you, obey you. Now they hardly want to talk to you anymore. And your finances may be shrinking and shrinking. You're wondering where the next meal is going to come from. Whatever the case may be, people, I want to tell you this. You are exactly where God wants you to be. It's not an accident. Consider the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Do you think that when he was proudly sharing his dream with his brothers, he envisioned that hatred would be aroused and that he would soon be sold away as a slave? He didn't have a chance to say goodbye to his father. And when he honored God by rejecting the sexual advances of Mrs. Potiphar, do you think that he expected to be thrown in prison? Do you think that he was disappointed when the royal cupbearer failed to bail him out after he was released? Of course. Yet, that was the path chosen by God for him to become the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph understood that eventually when he said this to his guilt-ridden brothers. He says, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So people, when you are in doubt, remember, God's goodness has no bounds. It is immeasurable, unchanging. His perfect goodness is with you in your current situation. It will lead you to green pastures where your needs will be met and you can rest. Only if you're willing to trust God, trust His goodness for you, you will enjoy His peace wherever He brings you. Even now that you don't, this place that you don't want to be. Once you can consecrate to Him and trust Him, you will begin to realize God knows more. He is doing something. You may not understand it, but He is good. Do you rather trust yourself and your own limited wisdom and knowledge? Or do you rather trust a God who is infinitely good, who knows everything, who is able to engineer everything in this world for your good? And lastly, God is good when you are suffering. No one likes to suffer. It will be a sickness if you like suffering. And some of us make it a goal to avoid all kinds of suffering. There's a hint of suffering over there. No, I don't want to go there. Mission trip, difficult. No, I don't want to go there. I don't want to endure any kind of suffering. But the reality in this broken world is that suffering is unavoidable. There will be no suffering in heaven, but now there is absolutely suffering. Now Paul, after he was stoned and dragged out of the city, thinking that he was dead, he wrote that trials are necessary. This is what he told his new converts. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Many trials. When there are no trials, it is easy to believe God is good. We give thanks to Him, God is good. Everything is good. Everything is right. But when there are many trials, coming in the form of crippling pain, terminal disease, loss of the loved ones, betrayal of a trusted friend, or even a spouse, tragic events, we struggle. We struggle to make sense and wonder if God is still good. And one of the most comforting Bible verses is in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. This verse tells us that while we may not understand why God chooses a certain path for us, why certain things are happening or not happening, the details of the ins and outs of our daily life, we may not understand. But one thing we can know that God has a plan. We can know that because we are Christians, all things will work together for good. That's a promise of God to us who are His children. So trust God that your suffering will not be wasted, for He has a good plan for you. In our suffering, we discover that we can lose everything, but we won't lose God. And it is sometimes the only way to realize that Jesus is all we need. We can take away everything else. I've got Jesus. I am fine. We can only experience that when we have lost much. And in our suffering, we get a taste of the suffering endured by our Jesus on our behalf. Whatever pain we experience pales in comparison of the pain that He suffered. For most of us, if there's a way to get out of the situation and get rid of the suffering, we would do it. Why not? We would choose that path of easier life. But for Christ, He did not take the easy way out. He chose to suffer so we would not suffer. So we would not suffer the effects of sin and death and eternal condemnation. So in closing, look to our big God. and be amazed by His awesome goodness towards us. Journey closer and closer towards Him so you can get a better view of the majestic, marvelous God of the Bible. Throw away the postcard of God. See the real God that is immeasurably good, immutable, inseparable. And people, as you look up, you look down, you look left, you look right, you look all around you, you see that God is everywhere. He's bigger than everything. And I pray that by that, all the worries, concerns, and troubles that you are experiencing right now will begin to fade away. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We are so thankful that you are faithful to us. You are a good God. You are a God that never lets us go. You are a God that pursues us. Even when we are lost, you bring us back. And your goodness and your love is immeasurable, greater than anything that we can imagine. And that goodness and that love, that grace, is also unchanging. It will always be there. It has always been with us. It will always be with us until we die, until we see you. And because of your goodness, we can make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Because of that goodness, we want to serve the Lord with gladness. And because of that goodness, we want to come into your presence with singing to our good, good Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, can I ask you to stand as we worship our good God?
Perfect in all of your ways. You are. are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You're a good, good Father.
Yes, Lord, you are good, good Father.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am, and you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you.
Father, we confess that oftentimes we limit your goodness to our experiences or the experiences of others. You are good because that's who you are, your nature, your attribute. But Lord, sometimes we trip over that when we look at our own suffering, our own pain, our own sorrows, and the sorrows around us. Sometimes we question, why God would you allow it? Why God, you know, those things happen, the regrets, the pain, the fears. Lord, your word help us to see. Help us to understand that we live in a fallen world. And because of sin, there is darkness, there's pain, there's sorrows, there are atrocities. But God, you have something planned for us. We can look to a good God because, Lord, in your sovereign kindness and goodness, you plan for us to have a future in eternity with you. And you promise that there will be a time where there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrows. Lord, we are confined, limited. Lord, by what we see and understand, our finite mind. But today you are saying, God, we cannot limit you to our understanding. You're beyond us. Lord, we don't even have words to describe what your goodness is. Lord, we know enough to say you are good because you came down. Jesus, you came and you died on the cross for our sins. You bore it all. And you prepare a place that one day there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. And God, you are good. That's why we can say you are good. So Father, we ask that as we leave this place, we could contemplate on the promises of your word to us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are with us through our pain, our high, our lows, our good and our bad. And Lord, even though when we are doubting your goodness, help us. Point us back, draw us back, help us to go beyond our own finite understanding of why things are happening around us. Lord, let your mercy and goodness reign over us. We're going to sing that chorus again, you're a good, good Father. And as we sing it, will you just make it your own? Say, God, I'm in pain now. I don't know why my marriage has gone a certain way. Why my health has gone another way. God, if you're good, you wouldn't have not allowed all this. But God, you're beyond all this. Sometimes we still don't understand why you allowed it. But God, we want to come back to the scripture, the word of God, who says you are a good God. And we want to trust in your goodness, despite the pain, despite the concern, despite all the regrets. Because we believe you are able to redeem. In your time, you promise in your word, in your time, you make all things beautiful. Let's worship the Lord. You're a good, good Father. Let's sing it.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
Yes, Lord.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Good, good Father. This is who you are.
It's who you are. Who you are.
Oh, and I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're perfect in all your ways. Yes, Lord. It's who you are.
Who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Yes, Lord.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
I sing that line. You are perfect in all your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Lord, even when we don't see it.
You are perfect in all
even though
of your
we don't
ways.
Feel it, Lord.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
To us. One more time. You're perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Yes, Lord. Church, will you lift your hands as you receive the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. The service is over. Go in the peace of the Lord. Stay behind for some fellowship. If you have questions, you want to talk to a pastor, we are all here. Just come and talk to us. We'd love to answer your questions. The Lord bless you.